of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues, weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth." Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere.
Very good evening to all listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. This is Eben, and it's a privilege to come your way this evening. Last week, I wasn't around, but tonight, by the grace of God, I'm in town again. A lot is happening in the world, interesting days we live in, and to the believer who understands the times we are in, we have to get excited about the fact that the word of God is true. And to the ones who still have doubts about the Christianity, the faith they belong to, and all that, these are the times to really renew your mind to understand what you are supposed to believe in as a Christian. Because we are living in times in which the early prophets and the early believers wished to see, but they didn't see it. We are seeing things which the Bible has written and prophesied about, and it's unfolding unlike any other generation has seen. We are seeing things which no other generation has seen in terms of the numbers coming together, the things that the Bible talks about coming together in a short period of time. You see Bible prophecies in various ways and all that. Unfortunately, most people still can't figure out and don't seem to understand what is happening. Some are just not interested in it. Some are just not concerned. Others too, out of ignorance, because no one is really drawing their attention to it. And I believe that's the reason why we draw your attention to some of these things in this program. And you look at the news, the things happening and all that. You know, recently someone was asking me, am I a prophet? I said, I'm not a prophet, because she was of the view that the things, a lot of things we were talking about in the last few months and last year and things, they are unfolding. And see, this is how powerful the word of God is. Because when the word of God has said something, it's just a matter of time and it would unfold. Well, tonight, lots of things to discuss. I put on hold a bit tonight the digital parenting to address a lot of, or some of the events, the news, and then God willing, next week continue the digital parenting and then we progress from there. But before, let me start off with this song, which I believe we need the words in such a song to lay the foundation for tonight's edition.
sacrifice would be too great. When I finally reached the point of giving in, I found the cross was calling even then. There's no greater sacrifice, for I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. As I hear the Savior call for daily dying, I will bow beneath the weight of Calvary. Surrender to His piercing purpose that holds me to the cross, yet sets me free. I will glory in the power of the cross. The things I thought were gain, I count as loss.
Crucified with Christ. A very beautiful song. All right. So welcome back to Spirit 88.3 FM in Kumasi. And for those online, greetings to you and various countries and various parts of the country as well. All right. So if you've been following the last few weeks, you realize there's been fires and rain and all these things happening in various places in the world. And there's one that said that Tennessee residents detail horrors of Tennessee flooding that left 18 dead. And you should see pictures of cars just moving in water as if they are toys, and buildings shifting from their foundations and all that. And the devastation is hard to fathom, says Patrick Sheehan, director of the Tennessee Emergency Management Agency. You know, something is just not right. Something is happening, but a lot of people are not paying attention to it. The weather is getting out of hand in recent times. And for us, fortunately, in Ghana, because you see, things seem to be normalized and all that, we tend to ignore these things. But if you look at the trend, but even in Ghana, I mean, last week, WA had very serious issues as well, and people were cut off, roads destroyed, bridges destroyed, and all that. So things are happening randomly across the world in various places. Then the biggest news in the last few days has been the Afghanistan issue and the U.S., the humiliation that the U.S. is facing there, and it's just unfortunate. This headline says, Kabul explosion signals opening of jihadi civil war in Afghanistan. A former member of the U.S. State Department said the real purpose of Thursday's suicide attack in Kabul, which killed 13 U.S. service members and scores of Afghans, was an opening salvo of a civil war ISIS-K is seeking to fight against the Taliban. ISIS-K suicide bombing marked the deadliest day for American forces in Afghanistan since August 2011. And it goes on to say that in an interview with Fox News, Christopher Hanisch, former deputy coordinator for counterterrorism at the U.S. State Department, broke down the terrorist group's motivation for the attack amid the U.S. completing its withdrawal from the country. We in the West tend to think of the target being Americans, Hanisch told Fox News. The real purpose was to attract potential recruits into its ranks and also to really launch a civil war against Taliban and other groups fighting along the periphery. The group, known as Islamic State Khorasan Province, or ISISK, is an Afghan affiliate of the group's core leadership in Syria and Iraq. And then breaking news, which I saw a few minutes ago, where President Joe Biden says that they're expecting another terror attack in the next few days. So something big coming out again. Because for this one that happened on Thursday, they had intelligence, they warned about it, and it happened. And, you know, but for those who have been following the news in Afghanistan the last few days or from last week and all that, I mean, the pictures and videos are very horrific and worrying and very, very sad to see some of the things happening where people are doing everything they can to leave the country. And to me, the saddest part of this whole episode was seeing the C-17 plane taxiing on the runway, and people were running alongside the plane, some trying to hold on to the plane to fly with it. I mean, up to now, my mind still can't comprehend why someone would hold on. You know, my mind is like, if it's a trotro and you are holding on to a trotro, I mean, you are still on the ground, even that is deadly. But this is going to fly high into the skies, 20,000, 30,000 feet. I mean, but for people to act that way tells you the level of fear that they have for what is coming. So perhaps it's like what is supposed to be, I mean, obvious, rational thinking that this is a deadly thing to do. People still, and it's like people held on, and to the point where the plane really flew up and they were falling from the skies to the ground to die. I just can't understand this. But you see, it shows what is coming to the country, and so people are running whatever means they can to just escape. But there's a lot happening because of that, and I'll get into it briefly. But let me talk about this Israel one, where Israel is accelerating plans to take military action against Iran. You know, for those who are following what is happening, there's a clear signal that has been sent that America is no longer the America that, I mean, we all knew, the superpower, because clearly this is a weakened America that is, I mean, the world is seeing, to the point where even the English Parliament would say that they will not allow their soldiers to partake in joint operations with the U.S. Army under Biden alone. Is a big blow, because their strongest allies, UK and US, I mean, these are obvious allies all these years. But for them to get so disappointed in the US president to say that they won't allow their soldiers to do joint operations with the US Army, so far as it's under Joe Biden, then it's a very big blow, and it's a strong signal of lost hope and lost trust in the US. But you see, there is a broader picture to this. You know, for the New World Order to effectively take off, U.S. will have to go down. U.S. will have to lose that power and control. So, I'm not surprised. Expect more. Expect more humiliation. Expect more troubles for them. Already, a lot is happening internally. Their moral systems are breaking down, crime skyrocketing. The whole country itself is just on the brink. The economy is really in tatters. People are struggling. So many things are happening, but it's like a package. So everything is coming together to really bring down the country. And the warnings have been long since. The Lord has been giving countless warnings from last year. It's been increasing even the more, to the point where you know that things are not going well for this country. But we are getting to the point where it's becoming obvious for anyone who follows geopolitics in the world to see that America is no longer America. And Israel, being a very strong ally of America, and has always shown, or people have believed that, well, if Israel is to successfully attack Iran, they will need the backup of America. But with what has happened in Afghanistan now, Israel has no option than to plan alone, because they can't depend on America now, because with the old man in the White House, clearly he won't help them. If Israel decides to help, he won't. But the timing is even more serious, because according to intelligence report that they have in Israel, their security have, it's just left with 2 months for Iran to acquire or to be able to complete their nuclear bomb setup. So Israel has barely 2 months to strike Iran. And with the way Afghanistan has gone for the U.S., clearly they can't trust and they can't depend on America, because if they are to plan with them, things would fail. So this Israel's military is accelerating its operational plans against Iran due to progress of the Islamic Republic's nuclear program. IDF Chief of Staff Lieutenant General Aviv Kohavi has warned. According to the latest report from Jerusalem Post, the progress of the Iranian nuclear program has led the IDF to accelerate its operational plans, and recently approved defense budget is earmarked for that, he said. Kohavi commented as Prime Minister Naftali Bennett landed in the U.S. ahead of a visit with the U.S. President Joe Biden and other senior officials. Bennett is expected during his first visit to the White House to push Biden to harden his approach to Iran and drop efforts to revive the 2015 Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. When we began to plan the visit, and a return to the agreement seemed certain, Bennett said ahead of the departure on Tuesday, and indeed he met him this week. But you know, the US has taken a certain posture. I mean, and for those who follow what is happening, the way the president is behaving, a lot is left to be desired, because clearly more signals are showing that he is not even in charge. I mean, because the way his health, his cognitive, or I mean the way he behaves, he's struggling to really show that he is really in charge of. So there are some powers that be that are pushing things. This week, one news network was asking, one host was asking, so who is in charge at the White House? Because it's clear, it's obvious that the man is not in charge. So there are some powers that be who are doing their own thing. And the ultimate agenda is to bring the system down. But for those who understand the essence of these times we are in, that the globalists have to rise to get their system in place and all that, they will do what they have to do to get their system to work. For the New World Order to work effectively, the US must go down. And that's exactly what is happening. So it's intentional. They know what exactly they are playing. They know the game they are playing. And it's getting more interesting, because the effect of their actions there becomes a ripple effect across the entire world. And this leads me to talk about the next news and the next a few more in this series, where, for those who remember, I started talking about supplies of food going down the world and things going down and all. This headline says that empty shelves, severe shortages, and widespread crop failures are ahead in the fall of 2021. That's the latter part of 2021. This is referring to the US. But let's not forget that the effect of things happening there goes beyond that country. And, let me finish and then I'll say something. The overall mood of the nation is becoming increasingly sour with each passing day. The pandemic seems like it's never going to end, and the drama unfolding in Afghanistan is one of the greatest embarrassments in modern American history. And Joe Biden's approval rating is sinking like a rock as it becomes clear that he is completely and utterly incompetent. Unfortunately, average Americans will soon have to even bear more as they get stressed out. And this is to do with, as we've heard in the coming months, our store shelves are going to be getting emptier, shortages of products will become more widespread, and it looks like we could potentially have a very bad harvest season. And then goes on to say that, according to the Department of Agriculture, 63% of all U.S. spring wheat is in poor or very poor condition. If you've noticed, the cost of bread in Ghana is going up, or has gone up and is still going up. Last year at this time, that number was sitting at just 6%. Extreme heat is baking most of U.S., North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska, all known areas of extreme drought, according to data from the U.S. Drought Monitor. North Dakota and Minnesota in particular are experiencing near record lows in soil moisture, according to data from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. As a result, many crops planted this spring are wilting. Some 63% of U.S. spring wheat is in poor condition, yes, as I said earlier. And then goes on again to say that, of course, this comes at a time when we are also seeing crop failures in other key areas all over the globe. For example, we are currently witnessing one of the worst droughts that South America has ever experienced. And agricultural production has been absolutely devastated in Brazil, Argentina, and elsewhere. And this is going to have a huge impact all over the planet. What this means is that global hunger is going to continue to grow rapidly. And this is extremely bad news, because global hunger has already been rising at an extremely aggressive rate. Earlier this month, the humanitarian organization Oxfam released alarming statistics that measured the state of the food crisis after 1 year of the pandemic. Every minute, 11 people on the planet die of hunger. Let me repeat. Every minute. So since I started reading this particular story, about 33 people have died. Every minute, 11 people on the planet die of hunger. The number of people experiencing famine-like conditions globally has increased by 6 times in the past year. Many Americans may not care about starving people on the other side of the globe, but they are going to care much more when their Christmas celebrations are ruined because of severe shortages in the stores. While she was in Singapore this week, Kamala Harris, that's the U.S. Vice President, specifically warned about what is coming. And I was amazed when I saw it because, you see, said, quote, "The stories that we are now hearing about the caution that if you want to have Christmas toys for your children, it might be the time to start buying them because the delay may be many, many months," unquote. Let me finish off and then I'll explain exactly what she's referring to and what is coming and what is happening. According to Bloomberg, some of the largest U.S. food distributors are reporting difficulties in fulfilling orders as a lack of workers weighs on the supply chain. Take distribution giant Sysco, North America's largest wholesale food distributor, which is turning away customers in some areas where demand is exceeding capacity. Worse, food inflation is about to soar. The company said prices for key goods such as chicken, pork, paper products for taking out packaging are climbing amid tight supplies. In particular, production has slowed for high demand, labor-intensive cuts like bacon, ribs, wings, and tenders from chicken and all those animals, according to Sysco. And if intermediate and final wholesale prices are rising, just wait until they emerge on the consumer side. In effect, what they mean is prices are rising. And it's really true. I mean, I mentioned this a few weeks ago of a friend I was chatting with. She's in Texas. And he said for the first time, she went out to do just basic groceries for a little over a week, things to cover a few weeks, I mean less than 2 weeks, grocery shopping. And she spent $750. She said this is the first time she had to spend that much for groceries, less than 2 weeks grocery shopping. I mean, this is a reality. Prices are going up. And even in Ghana, I mean, you notice that things are going up gradually. There's supply chain of in the world. There's a crisis going on at the moment. Shipping containers are in short supply in some parts of the world. So it's raising the shipping. I mean, the cost of shipping and container freight charges and all going up. I mean, the last time I was being told that extra $1,000 if you are bringing a container from Asia into Ghana, 40-footer container. Now you are paying extra $1,000. That's extra. So whichever freight amount that charge you were paying for the 40-footer container, now you have to add extra $1,000 to it. So whatever the contents are as a businessman, when they get it, they have to now, you know the cost. No businessman is a Father Christmas. So the cost will trickle down to all of us. But you see, the reason why I'm addressing this is that 9th July, I was part of a conference that was done in the U.S. I joined virtually, and these things were discussed. It was organized by the World Economic Forum. These people, I mean, when they say something, you have to pay close attention to it. Actually, that's why. So when I saw it, I said, no, if this before, let me just join this if there's the opportunity. And I spent half my day that day just to be part of this conference. The reason why it's very significant is that these same people, before COVID came, did a simulation in September 2019. And then December 31st, officially the world was told. Now, this supply chain issue, problems, they did the discussion to the effect that, you see, the globalists have a system of doing things where they say things ahead of time. So, well, if you know, it's a coded message. They've said it, that this is happening, or it's about to unfold, or it's about to worsen. You know, they have a nice way of pushing information out, but this is how you can describe it, hidden in plain view. So they've said it, but they know most people will not take it serious. So they've done a program to discuss the supply chain of the world being affected to the point where one top person can even make a statement to the effect that the effect of it will even be worse than COVID in terms of the human pain, the suffering, the consequence, the job losses, to be the effect of this supply chain that is being affected worldwide is going to be worse than. So when I started seeing these news items, then I just realized that here we go. These people, they've started their thing and they are going to achieve what they've started. You know, let me read the second item along with for this one. And Christmas could be cancelled in the UK. This is UK. The first one was US, mainly US. Now this is UK. Christmas could be cancelled in the UK as the food shortage crisis continues to grow worse. Supermarket bosses have warned that shortages could hit Christmas food supplies. Richard Walker, Iceland's chief executive, has said that a lack of lorry drivers is threatening deliveries. According to The Sun, gaps on supermarket shelves have been spotted across the country due to a combination of factors, including lorry driver shortages and COVID. Supplier issues have also led to shortages at fast food chains like McDonald's, Nando's, KFC, with some items missing from menus and branches closed. Greg's is the latest to say that it's short on food. Faves and Costa Coffee has reduced its menu due to supply chain chaos. McDonald's yesterday warned that there was a nationwide shortage of milkshakes at its more than 1,000 restaurants. The Sun newspaper revealed last week that Nando's was forced to close nearly 50 branches after running out of chicken. The Sun revealed that Nando's has been forced to close a number of branches after running out of food due to delivery delays. The Nando's confirmed to The Sun that the closures were due to staffing problems at its suppliers' factories. Not enough food deliveries have been made to a number of its restaurants as a result, resulting in stock issues. And to those who have access to the internet, just search this, and read it on CNN. I'm not reading that one due to time, but the title is "The Shipping Crisis is Getting Worse." Here is what that means for holiday shopping. And this, you can find it on CNN. It's quite a lengthy article, but it gives a better insight about the shipping crisis. You see, but the issue is this. It looks like, it's a problem. But some people know what they are doing and they know what they are engineering. You see, so an agenda is being pushed to push the world to another level of economic difficulty and human challenges and all that. All these are planned. Oh, yes, all these are planned. So it's for some of, I'm not surprised because I've been talking about this thing that is going to happen, and I've listened to them, and they are also saying it's going to happen. And indeed, it is unfolding. For those who remember, last year I started talking about the fact that people should start stocking up. Well, little by little, people should be doing it because we are getting to that point where things are going to be extremely expensive. You see, economic difficulties are coming. These are the realities. I mean, it's not about that, yes, we are people of faith, we live by faith and all that, but the same God that gave Joseph the wisdom to do what he did is that same God who is also with us and has been giving some warnings ahead of time. And the reason why these things are critical is it's not only the shipping containers, there are also chips, the chip, not food chips, but the chip that is used in production for various machines, cars and all that. Now, cars, the big car companies, they are cutting down their supplies and their production. Toyota and others, computers, HP, they are cutting down production, delays in supply of laptops. It's affecting farm machines. Large-scale farming where they use this, combined harvesters and the automated machines and all that. Those chips, now, if your machine gets spoiled, you won't get the replacement chip. It may come next year. And it's affecting factory production. So you see, this supply chain thing, a lot is happening to push these problems on board. But we as Christians, the reason why we should know what is happening is that so that we are not caught unawares. That's the beauty of the God we serve, who gives enough advance information, not just for listening purposes and not just for scaring us, but to let us be wise and know what to do. And that's a very critical thing. That's the whole reason why I've taken enough time to really address this issue, so that people would not just be surprised with the cost of things going up and, prices going up and all that. Understand the dynamics behind these things. That these things are meant to happen. And that's why it is happening, because some people really wish it is happening and it should happen. Yes, that's the world we live in. That's the globalists doing their own thing. All right, so let me finish off with that. Now let me get into another Christian issue, which is quite worrying. Taliban going door to door searching for Christians and inspecting phones for Bible applications, Bible apps. This is extremely worrying, because as the Taliban continue to gain control of Afghanistan following the pullout of U.S. troops, leaders of the underground Christian church are warning of the implications for religious minority groups in the country. In a statement released Tuesday, the leader of the underground church ministering to Christians in Afghanistan and the founder of the non-profit organization Global Catalytic Ministries, who goes by the alias Pastor X, provided a first-hand ground report on the situation in the country. The statement was shared by Frontier Alliance International, an organization committed to laying the foundation for the gospel where there are none. Quote, the Taliban has a hit list of known Christians they are targeting to pursue and kill. The U.S. embassy is defunct and there is no longer a safe place for believers to take refuge, unquote. The statement reads, all borders to neighboring countries are closed and all flights to and from have been halted, with the exception of private planes. People are fleeing into the mountains looking for asylum. They are fully reliant on God, who is the only one who can and will protect them. The statement noted that, quote, the Taliban are going door to door taking women and children. The people must mark their house with an X if they have a girl over 12 years old, so that the Taliban can take them. If they find a girl and the house was not marked, they will execute the entire family, the statement added. If a married woman, 25 years old or older, has been found, the Taliban promptly kill her husband, do whatever they want to do, they want to her, and then sell her as a sex slave. Additionally, Pastor X stated that, quote, husbands and fathers have given their wives and daughters guns and told them that when the Taliban come, they can choose to kill them or kill themselves. It is their choice. In a statement released Tuesday and shared with the Christian Post, Rex Rogers, the president of the non-profit Christian Media Ministry, SAT7, elaborated on the dangers faced by Christians. We are hearing from reliable sources that the Taliban demand people's phones, and if they find a downloaded Bible on your device, they will kill you immediately, unquote, Rogers said. Quote again, it's incredibly dangerous right now for Afghans to have anything Christian on their phones. The Taliban have spies and informants everywhere. With the Taliban takeover, SAT7 reports that many Afghans have begun censoring themselves to avoid retribution. In the first 6 months of 2021, SAT7 PARS reported an increase in audience engagement from viewers in Afghanistan. And then the SAT7 PARS broadcast two Dari, that's the language, D-A-R-I, programs targeting Afghan viewers titled Window of Light and The Secret of Life. In an update on Thursday, SAT7 reported that an anonymous SAT7 PARS viewer told the organization that Christians are in real danger. Wow. Then goes on to say, sadly, in the past 2 to 3 days, my family and I have received death threats, the viewer was quoted as saying. In this emergency situation, I have no other way but to escape from the country. Another viewer who came to Christ about a year ago told SAT7 that the situation is dreadful. My daughter's life and my life are in danger. The viewer was quoted as saying, my daughter is 8 years old. She has no one else except me. If it was so difficult to find a phone to contact you. Joel Richardson, preacher and host of the Underground podcast, explained Monday that in the rural villages, what the Taliban is doing, especially if they know that the families are Christians, that is infidels, they are taking the women who are teens and younger and giving them away as prizes to Taliban fighters. According to Richardson, it's not just Afghan Christians who find themselves in danger due to the Taliban's resurgence. The Taliban has also set its sights on Afghans who have demonstrated any allegiance to the U.S. over the past 2 decades. Tens of thousands of Afghanis who worked with the American military as translators who were part of the government, many of them are being targeted and executed, he said. As the Taliban gains ground in Afghanistan, leaders of Christian non-profit agencies and pastors have called on Americans and international community as a whole to pray for Christians in Afghanistan. And for this, I believe some of you have seen some of the viral posts regarding praying for the Christians in Afghanistan. It's quite an important thing. They need it seriously. Officials with faith-based refugee resettlement agencies have urged the U.S. government to admit tens of thousands of Afghan Christians and American-affiliated Afghans as refugees. Although leaders of Christian organizations agree that Christians and other religious minorities and women will face much stronger persecution with Taliban in control, they disagree about the degree of progress made in Afghanistan before the pullout of U.S. troops. Pastor X lamented that 20 years of work and strengthening of a nation being destroyed in a single day, whilst World Evangelical Alliance Secretary General Bishop Thomas Sherancha stressed that we should not pretend as if everything was well in Afghanistan before the Taliban taking control of the country. Sherancha asserted that because of the Constitution of 2004 stated that Afghanistan is an Islamic republic with Islam as a state religion, religious minorities never fully received equal rights in the country. With the Taliban on the march in Afghanistan, Global Catalytic Ministries has launched a war chest for Christians in Afghanistan that seek to provide them with emergency funds and supplies to help them to get to safety, as well as food, shelter, and clothing, and then basic needs. The organization hopes to raise $500,000 for 1,500 families between now and September 11. And It's even worrying when I saw this report that also says that Glenn Beck is a reporter, is a conservative reporter in the US, he has his own show and all that, by a Christian. Glenn Beck, and then Samaritan Space, that's Billy Graham's son's ministry now, Samaritan Space, helping Christians marked for death to flee Afghanistan. This is a headline. And it says that as concerns grow over the Biden administration's ability to evacuate Americans ahead of the planned military withdrawal from Afghanistan, and non-profit organizations are working to assist U.S. citizens and Afghans seeking to flee the nation that's being overrun by the Taliban. With less than a week until the August 31st deadline for withdrawal of remaining U.S. troops from Afghanistan, the federal government is working to evacuate American citizens and Afghans who risk being tortured and executed by the Taliban, a terrorist organization. Efforts to bring American Christians and Afghans to safety continued after an explosion in Kabul killed 13 Marines and one Navy corpsman on Thursday. The Department of Defense attributed the attack to the terrorist group ISK, local affiliates of the group, terrorist group. And then, but on the Tucker Carlson Tonight show on Thursday, Fox News opinion host Tucker Carlson profiled the Nazarene Fund, a charity fund founded by conservative radio host Glenn Beck, as one of the small number of groups that have headed to Afghanistan and the region to help evacuate people who are trapped there because the Biden administration just isn't doing that very effectively. In an interview with Carlson, Beck elaborated the progress his organization has made in evacuating American citizens and vulnerable Afghans from the country. We have pulled out 5,100 people, Christians, women, children, and put them on planes. Beck explained that the Nazarene Fund flies Afghan refugees to three nearby countries that requested to remain anonymous for fear of retaliation and terrorist attacks. According to him, the State Department, now listen to this part. According to him, the State Department has blocked us every step of the way. The State Department and the White House have been the biggest problem. And he also accused the State Department of putting about 500 refugees, primarily women and children, in harm's way. And we had them inside of the airport today, and one military official ordered them to go back on the other side of the gate. I have pictures of them this morning pleading and to get back through the gate. And then I have pictures of blood and body parts and nothing but death in that same area. We believe that our State Department is directly responsible for what we believe were some of these people. I don't know how many survived. But then, you see, he's addressing something that is more serious, that the people that are being rejected are the Christians. So he goes on to say, quote, an ambassador was called in Macedonia last night and was told not to accept any of these people as we were trying to get them off the tarmac here to keep the airport flowing and getting these Christians out, he added. Beck shared on his radio show earlier this week with Tucker Carlson Tonight that Copeland Ministries has let them borrow their jets, the aeroplane. We are going someplace else to open up two countries, and I don't even want to say who they are because I'm afraid our State Department will call them and threaten them. Can you imagine? So these NGOs are trying to push or pull Christians out to safety, and the U.S. government is frustrating them. They don't want the Christians to go. And, you know, you look at the state of the world and how things are being done. But I'm not surprised this government is doing that because this is the same Democrat government then, years back, Obama, where refugees from these Islamic countries, the Muslims were allowed in the larger numbers, and then they will give a small, tiny percent to Christians. You see, so there's always been, the Democrats always have an agenda against Christians. So I'm not surprised they are doing the same in Afghanistan, where those who are Christians are being frustrated to leave the place. it's very unfortunate. Extremely unfortunate. And then Beck warned of the dangers Christians face in Afghanistan with the Taliban in control, noting that they are marked not just for death, but to be set on fire alive because they are converted Christians. He categorized the federal government's actions regarding Afghan refugees as out and evil. Out and evil. And that's the truth. As of Tuesday, the Nazarene Fund had raised more than $30 million. And in an Instagram post, Beck stressed that I'm personally paying for my and my team's expenses with air travel, courtesy Copeland Network, and all donated money goes to rescue those in Afghanistan and other persecuted Christians. I mean, God really bless him for this effort because it's really heartbreaking. And then in another network reported this other portion of his another interview he had. Let me just read that portion. And this portion says, Biden, White House, and State Department blocking rescue of Christians from Afghanistan. Where it says, Muslim countries are more compassionate toward Christians than the Biden administration. Can you imagine that? Islamic countries, Muslim countries, are more eager to accept Christians from Afghanistan than our own State Department, noted Carlson. Tucker Carlson, that's of the Fox News. Other Middle Eastern countries have more compassion for these Christians than our American government, said Beck. It's insulting, embarrassing, and wrong. The U.S. government has chosen not to designate Christians or other religious minorities as priorities for evacuation, according to a statement from the U.S. Commission of Religious Freedom, an independent bipartisan U.S. federal government commission that monitors the universal right to freedom of religion or belief abroad. And then Beck said that the State Department has also shut down its efforts to persuade other nations to receive Afghan Christian refugees. In a recorded phone conversation with Senator Tom Cotton, a Republican from Arkansas, shared via Twitter, Beck recounted how the State Department closed the door on the possibility of sending evacuees to Macedonia. We had been looking for places where we can fly the people in just to hold them. And Macedonia was one of them, said Beck. The ambassador of Macedonia was called by the State Department and told not to take any of these people. What the hell? That's what he's saying. And that's the reality of the world. That's what is coming, and that is what is happening. You see, these things should give we the Christians an understanding of the state of the world and to give us a better picture of the times ahead. So when you see what is happening to these people in this country, we shouldn't deceive ourselves that it is only that place. It is a lesson that we can all, or we should not can, we should all learn from, because that is the state of the world in the times ahead, where Christians will be hated just as they are now in that place. I'll be back after this short break with the song by Chris Tomlin.
Some may trust in horses, some may trust in chariots. Oh, but I'm gonna trust in the name of the Lord. Some trust in their riches. Some may trust in all they own. Oh, but I will trust in the name of the Lord. There is water working power, Holy Spirit power, great redeeming power, power in the name, resurrection power, bondage breaking power, power in the name of Jesus. Some trust in their wisdom.
shocking power, Holy Spirit power, great redeeming power, power in the name, resurrection power, bondage breaking power, power in his name, there's power in his name. Mountains above, you are where my help is from.
Indeed, if there was ever a time that we needed the help of God, it must be now, because things are just not as we expect it to be, and it's not going to get any better. It's not getting any better, but once we trust in the name of the Lord, once we put our trust in Him, He will guide us, He will provide for us, He will protect us, He will deliver us. Ultimately, what we should do is to be in His will and to walk in His footsteps. That's the best place to be, in His will. Because we are in the times in which if we are to be in our own will, with our own plan and strategies and ideas, we would fail and it will fail us. But if we walk in His will and we allow His Spirit to lead us and to guide us, ultimately, things may be hard, things may not be as we expect, but at the end of the day, He will still prove Himself as God. Welcome back to Issues of Life. This is Eben. I've been going through some of the news and have a few more. You know, persecution in China, it's not ending. It's getting serious, actually. They're adding new things to their curriculum, where now the Chinese leader is virtually like God. It's serious. You have to study about him and all that. And China, this headline says, China, police arrest 10 kids, 18 adults in raid on worship gathering. Police in China raided a small group of Christian worshippers from heavily persecuted house church in southwestern China's Sichuan province and arrested almost everyone, including an infant less than 1 year old, 9 children, and then 18 adults. Officers from Shenghua district, some long name, office forcibly entered the home of a church member, He Shang, where the small group of Early Rain Covenant Church was meeting for worship on Sunday, according to CBN News. The police claim to have received a call reporting an illegal gathering there. And by this one, let me chip in, they've set up a system where in some provinces where if you report Christians having any gathering, you'll be rewarded for it. So you can imagine how now neighbors are going to eavesdrop on their Christian neighbors if they think they are Christians, to ensure that they are doing something. You call the police, reports, and then you get money for it. I mean, this is really going to push persecution to another level, because you see, maybe perhaps your neighbors know you are Christian, but well, I mean, what's the big deal? If you are doing your thing, they don't really care. But if they will be rewarded for reporting a Christian activity, then the challenge and the temptation for them to report is extremely high, because who doesn't want money? You see, so this is the strategy the devil is pushing the government to do, and that is going to tighten it more for the believers there. It's very unfortunate. Extremely difficult times for them there. But, you know, we've said it over the period, I've said it a number of times, the Eastern Christianity is what we should learn from. Because they are taught that persecution is part of the Christian walk. You see, so when they encounter these things, it doesn't break them. It rather strengthens them. So the government has tried to collapse the church, has tried to take Bibles away. You know, interestingly, China is the, I mean, most Bibles are printed in China, but it is also the place where Bibles are controlled. So you print it, yes, the printing press, finish, take it out, shipment, but not for consumption there. So, I mean, in recent times, they've really made it difficult to get Bibles to buy. Online shops, you know, all these things are being clamped down. There's serious and heavy persecution against the body of Christ over there. Let me read excerpts of this report where it says, Open Doors USA, which monitors persecution in over 60 countries, estimates that there are about 97 million Christians in China, a large percentage of whom worship in what China considers to be illegal and unregistered underground house churches. Over 2 years ago, authorities shuttered the 5,000-member church ERCC, broke down the doors of church members and leaders' homes, and arrested more than 100 people. Police continue to harass and track church members, according to a recent report from the U.S.-based group China Aid. ERCC, led by Pastor Wang Yi, has not been able to gather in person since it was shut down in 2018 when its pastors and other leaders were arrested. Wang was later sentenced to 9 years in prison on charges of subversion of power and illegal business operations. Under the direction of President Xi, officials from CPP have been enforcing strict controls on religion, according to a report released in March by China Aid. Authorities in China are also cracking down on Christianity by removing Bible apps and Christian WeChat. WeChat is an app in China, the WeChat public accounts, as new highly restrictive administrative measures on religious staff went into effect this year. China is ranked on Open Doors USA's World Watch List as one of the most countries, the worst countries in the world when it comes to the persecution of Christians. The U.S. State Department has also labeled China as a country of particular concern for continuing to engage in particularly severe violations of religious freedom. And that's the persecution issues. We have to, you know, these are all people who need our prayers, because fortunately, this 60 countries that the Open Doors USA has for the persecuted countries, Ghana is not part of the 60. We have every reason to thank God, but we also should reflect on the fact that we are not on this list of 60 most persecuted, countries where Christians are most persecuted. This list keeps growing by the day, or gradually, as the years go by, the list is increasing. More countries are being added to it. You see, it tells you, or it should tell us something, that iniquity is increasing, evil is increasing, hatred for godly things are also increasing. And it's amazing how the body of Christ is caving in to all sorts of pressures in the system. This headline, seriously, I see some bizarre and absurd news sometimes, but of all that, this one has really, really shocked me today. When I saw it, I sent it to Pastor Roger. No. It doesn't make sense, but that's exactly what is happening. Harvard, a top Ivy League school in the world, everybody knows. Harvard chaplains elect atheists as new president. You know, when I saw it, I said, oh, how? So chaplains gather to elect a leader to oversee the chaplains group, and they elect an atheist. My mind can't comprehend. My mind just can't think through as to how chaplains, it's obvious that these chaplains themselves, their Christianity is just on paper. Because how on earth can you appoint an atheist to be your leader? Greg Epstein, an atheist and humanist chaplain at Harvard University, who says he doesn't look to God but people for answers, has been elected by his colleagues as the newest president of the Harvard Chaplains. Hey, Epstein, 44, was elected to the presidency of the university's organization of chaplains by more than 40 chaplains from some 20 different faith and spiritual traditions. He shared the news in an announcement on Twitter Thursday, along with a profile of his election to the position by the New York Times. Margaret Hammerstrom, the Christian Science chaplain at Harvard, told the publication that while Epstein's election to such a role may have been problematic at a more conservative institution, the decision was unanimous at Harvard. Quote, maybe in a more conservative university climate, there might be a question like, what the heck are they doing at Harvard, having a humanist be the president of the chaplains? But in this environment, it works. Greg is known for wanting to keep lines of communication open between different faiths, according to Hammerstrong. And then the new leader who authored the book Good Without God, What a Billion Non-Religious People Do Believe, is expected to coordinate activities for the corps of chaplains. And then he has served as a humanist chaplain at the Harvard since 2005. Recent survey data highlighted that the Harvard Crimson shows that, I think it's a project or something, shows that a growing... shows that a growing number of students enrolled at the Ivy League campus don't identify with any particular faith. And this is worrying, because if recent survey highlighted that a growing number, that means more people are living, more people are walking around now without the faith in Christ. They are leaving Christianity or they are not joining at all. In 2017, some 32.4% of incoming freshmen identified as either atheist or agnostic. That's one third, almost 32.4%. By 2019, the share of incoming freshmen who identified as either atheist or agnostic has risen to 37.9%. There is a rising group of people who no longer identify with any religious tradition, but still experience a real need for conversation and support around what it means to be a good human and live an ethical life. Epstein, who was raised in a Jewish household, told the New York Times, we don't look to a God for answers, he said. We are each other's answers. A study from a Pew Research Center published in 2019 showed that only 65% of Americans identify as Christian, showing a 12% decline over a decade earlier. The number of Christians who identify as religiously unaffiliated also increased to 26%. The changes underway in the U.S. religious landscape are a broad... The changes underway in the American religious landscape are broad-based. The Christian share of the population is down, and religious nuns have grown across multiple demographic groups: white people, black people, Hispanics, men and women, in all regions of the country, and among college graduates and those with lower levels of educational attainment, Pew researchers reported. Religious nuns are growing faster among Democrats than Republicans. Of course, it's not surprising. That's for the Democrat Party, more anti-God as they are now. Though their ranks are swelling in both partisan coalitions, Pew added. And although the religiously unaffiliated are on the rise among younger people and most groups of older adults, their growth is most pronounced among young adults. And this is the worry, because the next news is also a research. The next two news items are research works, which should really get us worried, because Yes, it's based in the U.S., but I can confidently say that this is a reflection of our society in Ghana as well, because largely and generally, the lifestyle that we see the youth leading now is just parallel to how it is in the Western world. By the power and the effect of technology, the social media, I mean, like the movies, the entertainment, the sports, and also the things they watch and the influences that they've had, we are also having it here. The only difference is the education aspect. Our educational system is still, as for education system, nothing to talk about, but it's at least we are not undermining morality like they are doing in their place now. But this headline says that only 9% of Generation Z youth are Bible centered. This is according to a survey. And it says that fewer than 10% of Generation Z youth, that's the Generation Z is those in the ages of 9 years to 24 years. So that Generation Z, this current generation, say that they are committed, says that so less than 10% say they are committed to reading the Bible regularly. And that is serious. Less than 10%. And you can conduct a survey like that on your own, in your community, if you're a teacher, in your class, to see. You see, this is the reality where gradually, you see, we make the noise that we are a Christian nation, we are a Christian nation, we are Christians. But come on, when the road becomes clearly defined, who is a Christian? You realize we have extremely few Christians in the system. Because saying you're a Christian doesn't mean you're a Christian. It's the living, it's the lifestyle. But that is also where the challenge and the problem is. Because if you are going by the lifestyle and the living as Christians, then it's obvious. Because if you look at our society, I mean, nothing really shows we have Christians in the system. Very few. So this issue of less than 10% saying they read their Bible will largely reflect over here too. And in the states, in their states of the Bible, that's USA 2021 reports, State of the Bible report released on Thursday, the American Bible Society concluded that Generation Z, defined as between 9 and 24 years, have a precarious relationship with the Bible. Researchers polled individuals as young as 15 and split the generation between Generation Z youth, that's 15 to 17, to separate them from Generation Z adults, 18 to 24. ABS found that only 9% of Generation Z youth were classified as scripture engaged, which means being centered on reading the Bible. By comparison, 14% of Generation Z adults and 23% of millennials were classified as scripture engaged. Additionally, 47% of Generation Z youth were labeled Bible disengaged. Half of all American adults qualify as Bible user today. Those who use the Bible at least 3 to 4 times per year. Hey, per year, but I thought you come to say per week. Wait. Let me read this thing again. I can't believe what I'm reading. Half of all American adults qualify as a Bible user today. Those who use the Bible at least 3 to 4 times per year, stated the reports. 3 to 4 times per year. So first quarter, January to March, they open the Bible once. April to June, second time. July to September. Then October to December. And, hey, this is serious. Wow. So if you have this percentage, then it tells you the generation that we are in now. It's really worrying. I mean, now the youth, even in Ghana, the youth Ask how many read their Bibles. Even the church, the youth in the church, even not even unbelievers or just random people passing on the streets asking them. In the church, the Christian, supposed Christian youth, who during prayer meetings will be making noise, shouting and clapping and jumping all over the place and making noise and noise and noise and noise. Ask them how many read their Bibles and you'll be shocked. As most don't even, some will say they don't even have a Bible. My Bible is on my phone. I don't have a Bible. And even that, are they reading it? And you'll be amazed the numbers that are reading the Bible. There is a crisis happening. And recently I was telling a pastor that, if pastors don't pay attention to their youth in their churches, we'll lose them. And anyone who understands what is happening can attest to the fact that what I'm saying is the fact. If we don't pay attention to the youth and the teenagers in our churches now, we are going to lose them. And we are losing them already. We are losing them, but we are going to lose them at a faster rate than we anticipated. Because the system is pulling them out of the church at a faster rate than we can hold them to. Because, see, that's why this digital parenting system, program discussions and all come up. Because, see, the system, the world system has been designed to derail the youth and the teenagers from the Christian faith. As many as are already Christians, the system is taking them out of it. This is where parenting comes in. And this is a clear parental failure. Oh, yeah. Except these children grew up in social homes or foster homes or something. But if these children are growing up in their own homes with their parents, then parents have failed. Oh, yeah, because train up a child in the way he should go, and when he grows, he will not depart from it. This is a principle that stands. But now the question is, are we training up the children in the way they should go? Or we are training them up in the way they want to go? And this is the difficulty for most parents. This is where the problem comes in, because the system is now training up the children for parents. And where lies the Christian doctrine, the moral life that Christians should bring up their children in? So you see, it's clear, Proverbs 22:6. So train up, that training thing, are parents training up their children today? Parents don't even have time. So how can they train the children? So train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. He will not depart from it. So that means the child will grow in that training till he is old, and he will still stay on track. He will not depart from it. But now, looking at these statistics, where they are already leaving the faith by 9 years, 10 years, and the teens, they are already leaving, then there's something wrong. So you see the youth all over the place. You don't need to be a prophet. You don't need even the spirit of discernment. But you just know. You can just see and know that these people, yes, they will say they are Christians, but they are not Christians. It's obvious. You see, and this is where the issue is. And this week, I was in Accra. I was listening to a pastor, Pastor Rogers, a senior pastor. We were doing a prayer meeting, so I joined them online. And he was talking about some people where the youth, he met them somewhere, in the car somewhere, and busy mentioning football, the football names, the big names, the footballers and all. Then he asked them, where is, and Jesus wept. And it's like, yeah, you say what? And then he asked them another one again. Another popular one. And they couldn't. They couldn't answer it. You see, this is what is happening, where now this thing that we are talking about, if you are to ask these youth, Christian youth now, some of these popular Bible verses, you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked because they are just affiliating themselves to churches. They just come to church and see it as just a social obligation. Just come and please your conscience. Oh, I'm a Christian. If I don't go, my mother will talk. If I don't go, my father will talk. If I don't go, maybe youth pastor will call me and he will talk. So, you know, now they just see church as just a gathering that they just come for coming sake. But the transformational power is missing. So they are not transformed. The world is rather transforming them into lifestyles that virtually is drawing them out of the church. Because if you look at these numbers, you see, every pastor listening to this, or a church leader, please, these numbers, yes, these are statistics or surveys based on the US, but at least largely it will apply here as well. So let me just quickly continue. Messages can be sent to 0244-638-757. 0244-638-757. And then, yes, I'll open the phone lines, I think, before I finish off. Okay, so let me finish off now from here. It says that, so the turmoil of 2020 did not spark greater Bible use among teenagers. Generation Z youth, that's 27%, are more likely than Generation Z adults, 19%, or millennials, 9%, to say they decreased their Bible use in the past year, continued the report. And this is also a worrying one because whilst other surveys show that adults were rather getting Bibles for the first time to read and all when COVID, and like the people were wondering what is happening in the world, what is going on in the world. So whilst the adults took Bibles, some for the first time, the generation, the younger generations didn't even bother about the Bible. And this is also a serious issue then. Because if in the midst of a pandemic, you don't even see the need for God, then there's something wrong somewhere. ABS, that's American Bible Society, drew from a survey conducted January 4th to 29th of a national representative sample of 3,354 responses from adults age 18 and older, as well as 91 youth 15 to 17 years, with a margin of error of plus or minus 1.692%. When asked about the Bible's importance to sustaining key American ideals, youth in Generation Z, ages 15 to 17, were more likely than adults members of their generation and far more likely than older adults to be undecided, the report added. Generation Z youth may continue to form their opinions as they age into adulthood, but Generation Z as a whole are more likely than millennials to question the Bible's relevance to issues like liberty and unity. And then it goes on and on. For those who want this report, I can send it to you to have an understanding of it and to see how serious times we live in. Because another report also quoted and said that 43% of millennials don't know, don't care, and don't believe God exists. That's even more serious. 43% of millennials don't. So this American Worldview Inventory in 2021, a survey of the philosophy of life on American adults from Arizona Christian University, assess the worldviews of four generations: millennials, born 1984 to 2002, Generation X, born 1965 to 1983, and then baby boomers, 1946 to 1964, and then the builders, 1927 to 1945. Researchers found that among other recent generations, millennials have gone further in cutting ties with traditional Christian views and normal biblical teaching. Wow. For example, nearly half of all boomers believe that when they die, they will go to heaven only because they confessed their sins and accepted Jesus as their savior, compared to only 26% of Generation X and 16% of millennials. A staggering 90% of builders believe you treat others as you want them to treat you, while less than half of millennials agree. Additionally, 43% of millennials stated they either don't know, don't care, or don't believe God exists, compared to 28% of boomers, and then 44% of millennials believe Satan is real and influential, compared to 64% of boomers. The study also found that overall, younger Americans are significantly more likely than the two previous generations to embrace horoscopes as a guide and karma as a life principle, to see getting even with others as defensible, to accept evolution over creation, and to view owning property as fostering economic injustice. On spiritual matters, Americans younger than 55 are more likely to distrust the Bible and to believe God is uninvolved in people's lives. Interestingly, a majority of Americans call themselves Christians, ranging from 57% of millennials to 83% of builders. Researchers warn that the beliefs and behaviors of younger Americans, especially millennials, threaten to reshape the nation's religious parameters beyond recognition. And this is a very serious statement. That means, except the grace of God and the revival of God, America as a nation, they have no future as calling themselves a Christian nation again. Because except God intervenes through a revival, this generation is really off. And same applies here in this country. You know, we've tickled ourselves and deceived ourselves to the point where we think, oh, we are a Christian nation, we are Christians. But people are not Christians, though. I mean, the numbers, people are not Christians. So the earlier we accept our failure and quickly adjust to do things, the better it will be for us. And let me end off this news item. The numbers are a bit there, and the other one, another survey was talking of 60% of adults under 40 years say that Jesus isn't the only way to salvation. This is even another serious one, and is equal to Buddha and Muhammad. 60% of adults under 40 say that Jesus is not the only way to salvation. You know, this gradual, I mean, people bringing this argument, all ways lead to God, you know, the Pope has been saying it, and, you know, they are laying the foundation for the one world religion. So it's very subtle. For that, let me just read this Ghana news to finish off. I won't talk much about it, but to those who understand the times we are in, this is a parable you should think about. You would understand it yourself, I believe. For listeners of issues, I trust you, so you would understand it. Chief Imam contributes 50,000 Ghana cedis towards construction of National Cathedral. Construction of the National Cathedral has received a boost with 50,000 Ghana cedis contribution from National Chief Imam Sheikh Osman Shaributu. He is hopeful the money will aid the speedy construction of the national edifice, which is also expected to serve as a tourist site to earn revenue for the construction. The chairman of the Board of Trustees of the National Cathedral, Apostle Opoku Nyina, was excited about the rare move by the chief imam. He urged everyone, especially people of, listen to this sentence very well, he urged everyone, especially people of different faiths, underline different faiths, to emulate the gesture. We are overwhelmed and lost for words. This is a big gesture and we appreciate it. I think many people, including Christians and Muslims, will follow what the chief imam has done, he said. Think about it. Especially in the times we are in, and the fact that we are in the era where one world religion is being gradually introduced in a very subtle way. Those who understand this will understand it. You know, it's unfortunate that a lot of Christians see things, but they can't see things. May God give people the understanding of what they see and what they hear. Issues of Life is the program. I'll be back after this, and then I'll take a few calls.
Can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what He can do through me. No great success to show, no glory on my own. Yet in my weakness, He is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry.
into spirit issues, issues of life on Spirit FM. And this beautiful song by Steve Curtis Chapman, His Strength is Perfect. Indeed, we need His strength. Let me read, finish off with 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Didn't say may come or might come. Shall come. But I saw this, I'm reading a certain book, and he quoted another version just to make a point. Let me just read it. There's that verse, and then I'll continue from 9 King James. It says, and this is RIV. RIV, that's the word, Renner's Interpretive Version. And it says it this way. It says, you emphatically and categorically need to know with unquestionable certainty that in the very end of days, when time has sailed to its last port and no more time remains for the journey, that last season will stand in the midst of uncontrollable, unpredictable, hurtful, treacherous, menacing times that will be emotionally difficult for people to bear. You know, this gives goes deeper to explain the state of the world that the end times will be. Perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. You know, if you really want to know whether we are in the end times or not, read 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 1 to verse 6. Read it line by line, word by word, and ask yourself as you are reading it. If need be, have a dictionary if you are doing a study like Strong's Concordance or whichever, and look at the words deeper. Maybe at another occasion, I'll do that, but not tonight. And you'd realize that every one of the things Paul wrote there, we are seeing it in our generation in amazing fashion. Every one of those words Paul stated. So you see, if you really want to have a perfect picture, whether we are in the end, in the last days, look at what Paul wrote to Timothy. When you look at it, then you can understand where we are. Because if Paul wrote that these things shall come in the last days, yes, I mean, all this, I mean, these lifestyles have been there years back and all that, but to have all of them now in ascendances, we are surrounded by these things. That's how this version says that, where it's, so it's like we are in the midst of uncontrollable, unpredictable, hateful, treacherous, menacing times that will be emotionally difficult for people to bear. And this is where we are headed. We are in, and we are headed to even the worst part of it, where iniquity is moving to another level. Evil is moving to another level. You know, this evening I saw one news, Eastern Region, they've arrested a man who killed the wife and two children. And I was just asking myself, all of a sudden, yes, we've had murders all through the years, but now it seems there's some sudden rates, the numbers seems to be going up in terms of people killing, people just, you see, evil is rising. I mean, perhaps maybe you don't follow the news or you don't really care about what is happening, but if we are objective, you will realize something. The world is changing, and it's changing very fast. Things are changing very fast. evil is rising. I saw one news this week. I was shocked. This happened on the New York, on one of the train stations. The person is standing there waiting to pick his train. Someone comes from behind, pulls a hammer from his bag, just uses the hammer to hit the person. He doesn't know him from anywhere. He's not offended him in any way. His back is even, the back that faces the one holding the hammer. And so it's like hatred. I mean, last 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, which country? I've forgotten the country. Someone took knife, just stabbing people at a station. And then when they asked him, he says he just wanted to stab any lady who was happy and smiling. So if you're a lady and you're in a good mood and you're smiling or laughing, then he has to stab you. I mean, you see, human beings virtually have been manipulated and controlled by demons, and they are all over the place. Demons are controlling people. So whatever they hear and they feel, they just do. You see, evil is rising. And you see, the reason why we talk about these things is to the effect that people would understand where we are. You see, it's unfortunate that out there, the information looks like, oh, I mean, nothing to worry about, all is well. But all is not well. Let's stop deceiving ourselves. All is not well. Especially if we get into the timelines, you look at the Bible, and if really the Holy Spirit is with you and all that, you can realize that we are not living in ordinary days at all. So we cannot also live as ordinary people. These are the times to live as Christians. Because if there was ever a time that would make the choice and live as such, then it is now. Because if we can't make the choice to live as Christians, then when are we going to live as Christians? When? If now we can't live as Christians, when even things are normal, quote and unquote normal, we can't live as Christians. Is it when things are extremely abnormal that we can live as Christians? Think about it from that angle. Now that nobody is putting a gun on your head, you can't serve God, and you are even denying him to your friends, and some of your colleagues at work or school don't even know you're a Christian. Is it that when now there's a gun, and like Afghanistan now, that people are knocking on your door and asking, is there a Christian in this house? Is that the time that you own up and say that you're a Christian? Now, when nobody is knocking on your door asking if there's a Christian in this house, you are even ashamed of holding your Bible. When you are going to church, now the youth, a lot of them, they don't even hold Bible, just phones. They are going to church. Because not that they don't want people to see them holding a Bible. They are ashamed of holding a Bible. If now, with no guns and vigilante groups walking on the streets and parading, and if now you can't hold a Bible to church, is it that when those people, security is stepped up and they are hunting for Christians, is that when you would be able to hold the Bible? You see, this is the season to start evaluating our work and our faith. Are we truly, 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 truly following Christ? If we are, then these are the days to start growing quickly, because we don't have, you see, things are changing extremely fast. Yes, things are changing. I mean, nobody knows how things will turn up in some months to come. But it is obvious that things are getting rough, and things are going to get rough in the times ahead. But the least we can do is to establish ourselves in the rock called Jesus Christ. Our foundation should be well grounded in the solid rock. Because if we are to be in the quicksand, it's going to be disastrous. This week, some houses at part of Accra, down somewhere area, the sea. I mean, and I saw the news. I wasn't surprised, because I've been to that area before. And I remember when I was a child and we used to go to that beach, Easter Monday, the church picnic and all that area, the land you have a vast land with coconut trees before buildings are further there. Then, years later, when I was in the university, one day I went to visit my auntie and I said, let me just go and pass by this place. I was shocked. People have built right to the edge of the sea, whichever. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing, that people have built. So in this sand, people have built in it just like that. Then this week I heard the news that a serious high tidal wave came and a number of people died. So when the wave came, where you've built your house, there's no way you'll be spared. Because you can't build in sand and expect that when the sea comes around it, you'll survive. That's exactly how we should see our Christian lives. We cannot build in sand and expect to survive the storms that are blowing gradually and is increasing. These are the times to build on solid foundation, which is Christ. Nothing else, nothing more. Christ should be our foundation, and we need him more than ever before. Oh yeah, we need, if we I mean, you see, perhaps some still can't understand the picture of the state of the world now and can't even imagine what is ahead. But if you can understand where we are now, it should be easier for you, not easier, but at least it should give you a guide as to what we can expect in the times ahead. Because things are really getting off. Oh yeah, things are really getting off. The news, a lot of things are happening. There are some I don't talk about here any longer and all that. A lot is happening. A lot is happening. Anyway, for those, I think I can have this 10 minutes. So 054-689-8888. And for the messages, 0244-638-757, SMS or WhatsApp. Okay, I've had a few already, and okay, I responded to some. Okay, some are coming in. Williams from Tema. Okay, all right. Says, studying or meditating God's word or the Bible is very important because God's word guides you in the right direction in life. It lies the way ahead for you, so you can see clearly which way to go. Through every season of your life, you can be confident that God is always leading you through his word. But this generation has chosen their own way and direction, which is contrary to the word of God. Hence, don't bother to study the Bible to be rebuked or guided. The devil knew that. Okay, I think we have a caller. Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, your name and where you calling from, please.
Yes, I'm from Compassion.
Oh, please, can you lower your radio set or move away from it a bit?
Yes, I'm talking from Compassion.
Oh, okay, all right.
May God bless you for this program, and I've learned something from it.
Amen.
Let me see, or let me see. We take in this diamond. Things are not going on. Look at the news we are just hearing about the cathedral. This all testifies that very soon God is coming and all things. We are just messing up things. So we should have been vigilant and watchful so that when Jesus comes, we will not perish. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you too. 0546-89-8888. Okay, let me finish off with William's message. I left off. The devil knew that it's the word of God that can defeat him, and therefore make people feel lazy or unimportant to study the Bible. Okay. or it's okay, unimportant to study the Bible. It's time to get back to the basics of life. Psalm 119 verse 105 and Job 31 verse 1. From Willie Tema, God bless you and for listening as well. Augustine says, good evening. Okay, please join late because I attended the church service. I heard on the radio over the week that a Ghanaian, Ghana, okay, I have another caller, a minute. Hello, good evening.
Hello?
Hello, good evening.
Yeah, evening.
Please, can you lower your radio set a little?
Yeah.
Or if you can turn it off when you finish, you can listen to it again.
My name is Imano.
All right, yeah.
All these social vices happening within the brain of our time, the blame, we should, first of all, it's about the parenting, the parenting, the way we govern our the children, right? Now, when you go abroad, the question is how do the parents give their children training in order for them to live a life that is acceptable. Mm-hmm. And we have gotten youths, teenagers who have also become parents. And you bear witness that youth like 17, 13, even you have 12, how much parental keys does she has to, in order for her to install into the child that he or she has born.
It's serious.
So it's boiled down to the family, the parents. And the another problem is how educated are our parents. Now, as I'm speaking to you now, I am highly educated when it comes to the IT, those things.
Yeah.
But my parents, they don't know a thing when it comes to the, because when at their time, they were not using such things.
Mm-hmm.
See, so the mindset of the generation today supersedes that of our parents who give that to us, most of them. And secondly, we've gotten those adolescent people who cannot, shut down their, God knows what, they cannot shut down their things. They just go in there and do their thing. And we see that.
Yeah.
And even adults, teachers, now you turn on your radio, we hear lecturers having sex with, now this recent news. So the best thing is that you have to reframe and restructure the way we go by the parental lesson, so that at the end of the day, you know what to do.
Yeah.
Void of, what do you call it? Parent, we are witnessing this. Because what we are doing today is what our children are learning, and they will practice it tomorrow. Yes. So that's my contribution. We thank you. The program is very enjoying.
Thank you.
Thank you for such a program.
God bless. Bye-bye. All right. Thank you. Yeah. To comment on what a brother was talking about, see, I would blame parents for leaving the upbringing of their children, thinking that it's a Sunday school, as I'm in this context, Christian parents. There are a lot of homes where they think it's the Sunday school that should bring up their children for them in the fear of God. You see, so there's a shared responsibility on the side of some parents. So they don't really teach their children at home about the Lord. They've left it, Sunday school. Oh, Sunday school teacher. The role of the Sunday school teacher is not to train up your child in the way he should go. He's just augmenting what you will be doing at home. It's your responsibility to do it. Let me just pick this caller and then I'll continue. Hello, good evening.
Yeah, hello, good evening.
Yeah. Please, your name, where are you calling from?
Okay, I'm Kobe, calling from Achase.
All right. right. Your name, please.
Okay. First of all, I would like to congratulate you for your service. You know, you're actually doing well, and God should bless you.
Amen.
Actually, everything shows clearly that the world is gradually going to end. And it is obvious that Christians nowadays don't see what is really going on.
Mm-hmm.
As you've been saying, that they see everything normal, everything is normal, but it isn't that. But we pray and hope that the good Lord, you know, strengthen us, and we pray for another revival in our lives.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
If this is how things are going to work, then by the time that's our case, I'm not sure. Even we do that, we call ourselves Christians in the church, we'll be raptured. It's so serious.
It's serious.
You know, whenever I turn on my radio after work and I hear you speak, you know, I'm frightened. You know, I ask myself, so are these people you're talking or giving the news about, are they human beings?
Mm-hmm.
Or it's like, it's so serious.
Yeah.
But we pray that God intervenes for us. God will bless you.
God bless you too.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Let me read something from Deuteronomy chapter 6, and this is to all parents and guardians, and you know, you are in charge of bringing up a child or children, or whatever you call it, nephews, nieces, house helps, inclusive, and all those you have oversight over in your home. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 to 9. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house. This is not Sunday school teacher's job. You, the parents, this is in your house. This is your job. And when thou walkest by the way. So when you are with the children in the school, you are taking them to school in your car. You have a car and you are driving them to school, or you are walking with them wherever at home. You see, communication should be there. Along these lines, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and on thy gates. So when you go to a home and you see Bible verses written on the doors or stickers, this is what the Bible says, Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 to 9. The word of God should be instilled in the children. It should be infused in them. Pastor Roger, who I featured during the revival series, had a dream or a message from the Lord. I think it was a dream or something. Yeah. Where he said we should inoculate the word into the children. You see, other religions do it. They let the children, the Jews, let a child will memorize the Torah, but Islam, yes, same. They learn the Quran, they memorize and all. But come to Christian homes and it's like, when you grow. So you see, we leave everything to chance. Oh, when they grow. But the Bible says, don't leave it to chance. It says we should inoculate them with the word when they are children in our homes. And you see, a lot of parents have failed in this regard and are still failing in this regard. So what are we doing in the fact that as parents, Christian parents, it is our ultimate responsibility to train them in the way they should go and in the fear of God. God will hold us accountable. Let's not forget that aspect as Christians. You see, and perhaps, yes, it's like the horse has already bolted. The children have already hit the teens and now they are uncontrollable and it's a whole issue. There is still room. There is still hope. But you still now have to do extra work through prayer and talking and, I mean, a whole lot. If you lay the foundation at the right time, you see, that's why Proverbs is always 22:6 is clear. Train up a child in the way he should go. So that if you don't start right, the race is like a lot of parents, we've had four starts in the race of training up our children. So now we have to redo back and forth and all. Let me pick this last caller. Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, good evening.
Your friend is John, Mr. Sassy Mancanto.
Okay, yeah.
That's okay. Miss you, pa.
You, okay. Then I'm here.
You, nah. Mami Shah, I've done it, son. Right.
But my time now. I come to 2 minutes. That's how I was summarizing within 2 minutes.
Yo, Afghanistan, they are right. Because a mom from a teacher for an ombudsman or woman, and then you're paying for no more Africa, after you're paying for through a bridge, you know, they are Omuina ID, and then almost turns out. What's going on? They say, yes, my yes, we are doing gay using Bible. Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening. Issues of Life. This is Eben. God willing, next week you'll be coming your way again. You can have this recording on spiritissues.info and those in the Telegram group too. The file will be uploaded to the group for you to download or listen online in the Telegram. Good night and God bless you.